Beginning of this week's parasha discusses the lighting of the menorah. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe l'emor, daber al Aaron v'amarta ilav. V'haloschas haneros v'mul pnei ha-menorah. He says to Aaron, when you light up the menorah, you should light 7 candles. And Rashi says, why does the Torah start off speaking about the menorah, coming right after last week's parasha, about all the dedication made by the Nesiim? And he says, because Aaron was chol shedaita, he was a little down. Here was all these people, all these Nesiim made their dedications towards the Mishkan, and Aaron himself was left out. So he felt bad. So Hashem said, don't worry, Aaron, you're going to be allowed, going to be the one that's going to light the menorah. Oh, that made Aaron feel better. Asks the Ramban. I mean, Aaron, he had a lot of very, very special things that he was able to do. He was able to bring the karbanos, the ketores, the special karban of the ketores, morning and afternoon. The Torah tells us how great of a korban it was. He was able to bring that. Well, how about on Yom Kippur, the day that gives us kapara, the day of atonement? Aaron is the one who's able to go into the base, into the Kodesh HaKadosh, the whole, only him. Wasn't that enough? Aaron, yeah, it's true, you weren't involved in the Chanukah HaNasiim, the dedication of the Nesiim, but we give you a lot of extra stuff to be able to do. Why was it specifically the lighting of the menorah that was related to the dedications that the Nesiim made to the Mishkan? Another question. In the beginning of Parshas Truma, the Torah tells us about different items that were needed to build the Mishkan. Different colors, different dyes, different fabrics that was needed to build the Mishkan. And in Pasuk Vav, Perek Chafei, it says, and you need oil for the candles. So Tosfos asks, what's that doing over here? It doesn't tell us that you need animals for the karbanos. That's not the discussion. Here, we're only speaking about items needed for the physical structure of the Mishkan. But not items that are going to be needed for the functioning and for the Mishkan to be able to serve its purpose. It doesn't say bring animals for the karbanos or bring wheat so you could have the showbreads. That's not mentioned over here. It's only things for the structure of the Mishkan. That's the question of Tosos in the beginning of Parshas Truma. So one answer is that there's a fundamental difference between the lighting of the menorah in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash and all the other areas of service. The korbanos, the shtei alechem, the lechem apanim, all those things are different than the lighting of the menorah. And this is something that Reb Chaim writes in his Sefer on the Rambam, that by the menorah, the concept and the purpose of the menorah was not the lighting, wasn't the act of lighting the menorah, but rather it was that the menorah should be lit, that there should be light in the Mishkan. And therefore, while by the korbanos the point is the act of bringing the korban, by the menorah it wasn't necessarily the act or only the act of lighting, but it was in order that there should be light after the fact in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. And the Sefer HaChinuch explains this a little more at length. In the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, Mitzvah Tzariches, he says, the mitzvah of Arichas Neros HaMikdash, Mishar Sheh HaMitzvah, Shetzivanu Hashem Yisbarach Lios Ner Dolek B'Beis HaKodesh, Lahagdolas HaBayis, to raise the uniqueness and the specialness of the house, L'Kavod L'Tiferes B'Enei HaRolim. So that people from the outside, they see, wow, it's a lit up room, it's a lit up house. Ki Kein Derech B'Nei Ish, L'Iskavi B'Atem B'Nei Ros Dolkim. That people who want to show that their house is special, they light candles. They put candles all around. Wow, this is a special house. And that's the reason that we want to have the menorah lit in the Beis HaMikdash, because of the after effect. After you do the act of the lighting, it makes this house, makes the Mishkan into a very special place. And that's why it was specifically the candles, Tosfos writes this, that the candles were a atonement to Aaron. It was said that made Aaron, not atonement, made Aaron feel better. Because Aaron didn't have the ability to dedicate physical things towards the structure of the Mishkan. He wasn't there for the Chanukas HaNesiim. to dedicate the Mishkan, something of the structure of the Mishkan. And therefore, it was specifically something that was for the structure of the Mishkan, the light, the item, not the lighting of the menorah. That wasn't the point. The point was that the candles be lit. That adds to the structure, adds to the ambiance of the whole Mishkan, of the whole Beis HaMikdash. That is what was needed to make him feel better, to help add in the structure of the Mishkan. And that's what Tosa says is the reason that it was mentioned with the list of all the items needed for the structure of the Mishkan. You need wool, and you need dyes, and you need fabric, and you need oil. For what? For the structure of the Mishkan. Because in order to have a Mishkan shalem and complete, you need to have the lights there. It's not the lighting, but it's what comes out of that the place is lit up. The Gemara tells us that if someone wants to be smart, he should face the south when he's davening. Because in the Siman, because the menorah was in the south. The menorah represents, the chachma represents the Torah. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to say that even if you're not going to face completely to the south during Shmoneh Esrei, during the bracha v'atachonei l'adam das, you turn your head towards the south, and that would fulfill this requirement. Someone who wants to become smart, wants to obtain the chachma of Torah, he faces darom, he faces the menorah. The menorah represents the chachma of Torah. Just like we see that the menorah, it's not the lighting of the menorah that's the purpose, but it's the lighting of the menorah so that there should be light. Light that will create a very special, honorable ambiance in the Beis HaMikdash and in the Mishkan. The same thing is by our learning of Torah. Learning of Torah is not just that we're studying and studying and studying, and it's the act of studying and finished. The Torah has to be able to affect us. The Torah, it's the totsah. It's the afterthought. It's what comes out after the Torah. That through learning the Torah transforms us and makes us into a place of light, a place that's glowing, a place that's beautiful. Like Rav Yehuda Levi writes, Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, we are like a Mishkan. And just like the Torah inside us, the menorah inside us, we have to light it. It's true, in order to get the light, you got to light it. You must learn the Torah. But it's not enough to just learn and then act however you want. The Torah has to be able to transform us. It has to be able to cause us to look different. We have to act different. We have to speak differently. The Altar of Slobodka, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, lived at a time when people who were learning Torah were considered dirt. You couldn't find a shidduch if you were learning Torah. There was no Beis Yaakov system at the time, and learning Torah was nothing. And one of his main goals was to be meromim, to lift the level, the bar, of the feeling of people learning Torah. The people learning Torah are special, they're unique. We're all created with Tzelem Elokim. We have tremendous powers in the image of God to be able to affect the universe. That's who we are. And it wasn't just hardcore, intense shmuzim from the podium and people walked out, I'm special. He did that too. But it was in every aspect of life. He would speak about the Gemara that says if you have a Talmud Chacham who has a stain on his begadim, on his clothing, he's Chayiv Misa. He deserves the death penalty. Someone who represents the Torah, someone who the Torah was learned by and now supposed to shine throughout, he has to look that way. He has to look special. He has to look unique. He would, his son-in-law, Yitzchak Isaac Sher, one of the Gedolim of the time, was known that from a young age he would walk around a little bit hunchback. So the Altar of Sabatka said, that's not a, you should walk around like this. Proud, you're a Torah person. Show that you're special. So what did he do? He gave him money to buy, I forgot the name of the eyeglasses, but it was a type of eyeglasses they had in those days with no arms. It just had a pinch over here in the middle. You wear it like this, and you'd have to walk around like this in order that it doesn't fall off. And you have to walk around. So basically, he was trying to get him to straighten up. So he gave it to him. First one cost a lot of money. And I fell off, and it broke. So he said, come on, this is ridiculous, you know, it's not going to go. So the Altar of Sabbatka gave him more money. He said, doesn't matter, go buy another pair. Until he could be able to go ahead and walk like that. Meaning, what was he trying to say? That the Torah is supposed to affect us in all areas. We're supposed to look shalem. We're supposed to speak in a shlemistic way. One of my famous Dvar, my fave, famous, maybe it's famous because I say it so many times. It's my one of my favorite Dvar Torahs is that the Mishnah Berurah says that when you write the letter Pei in a Sefer Torah, you have to write it in a way that the middle looks like a Beis. Meaning it has to, the parchment has to back out a little bit in the back right so that you make a Pei, but inside the Pei, the parchment looks like a Beis. Then it's not ma'akev. The Mishnah Berurah says lachatchila. That's what every sefer Torah supposed to look like. Next time you get an aliyah, you look inside. Every pei inside, there's a beis in there. So what's the reason? Why do you have to have a beis inside a pei? I once heard that the pei represents the mouth, peh, the way you speak, and the pei delineates the bit. Bit means the inside, right? Ani babayit. I'm inside the house. I need the base medrash. I'm inside the base medrash. Bit is the inside. The peh, the mouth delineates who we are inside. The way a person speaks shows who he is. A person speaks in a rough way. A person speaks, chas v'shalom, in an inappropriate way, uses inappropriate language, speaks badly about people. That shows who you are inside. That shows what type of person you are inside. That shows that the Torah might have been lit. You might have lit the Torah. You might have been learning for a long time and maybe lit and lit and lit and lit. But it's not giving light. It's not illuminating the body. And that's something that we always have to remember, that as much as we learn and we push for our learning, we have to make sure that the Torah is transforming us. Transforming us physically, transforming us spiritually, transforming us in the way we speak, in the way we act, in the way our Sefer Panim Yafos, in the way we smile at other people, the way we listen, what we're listening to, what our eyes are watching, what are we allowing into this Mishkan? What is it? But if we don't put significant amount of time in making decisions and picking in that area, then the learning of the Torah is just like lighting a fire and putting it out. The bracha to all of us is that we should be zochet to continue learning the Torah and to pump that oil in, that we should be able to shed light on ourselves and to the rest of the Jewish people.